but it's entitled The Secret Place, amen, part two. And I'm just a firm believer, saints, that we have to make up our mind. Somebody say, make up my mind. That we're going to abide, which means remain in our secret place with God no matter what. Somebody say, come hell or high water, I'm going to stay in my secret place with God. Am I right? And in this secret place with God, we believe that he's going to bring us up, out of, and into all of the promises that he has made to us. Amen. And so when we look at the promises that he has made to us, where does he make these promises? Come on. He makes the promises in the word, does he not? So we read the promises in the word, but we receive the promises in our secret place with God. Come on. We read the word concerning breaking generational curses and releasing generational blessings. We read that in the word, but we actually break the generational curses in our secret place with God. We're able to regurgitate the word and release the generational blessings that he promised us in the word we read. Where do we release these blessings? We release these blessings in this secret place with God. And so I shared a few weeks ago that the will of God for our life is discovered only in the secret place with him. So when we see someone walking around and they don't know if they're coming or going, they don't know what their purpose or what the will of God is for their life, chances are they have not tapped into a secret place with God, because that is where God reveals his secrets to us. Am I right? One-on-one, uninterrupted. Is that right? So some translations refer to the secret place as a shelter, a covering, or a dwelling place. And you know that immediately takes me to 1 Corinthians 6 and 19, and you can jot this down, because it says, know ye not that, listen to this, your body is the temple or the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. Somebody say, my body. So this secret place or this dwelling place is not a place that we have to come in and go out of. Come in and go out of. But if our body is this dwelling place and the Spirit of God is on the inside of us, we should be able as believers to tap into our secret place no matter where we are and get the peace, the power, the provision, and the protection of God that we need, somebody say, 24/7. Because we don't have to pitch a tent anymore. We don't have to build a tabernacle anymore. Somebody say, my body is that tabernacle. And whatever it is that we need, we can ask God for. Amen? And he is surely, somebody say, surely, he's able to release it to us. Amen? Jot this down. The secret place is a state of spiritual rest. Somebody say, just rest. You can say rest, you can say rain, but it's a spiritual rest that prevails regardless of our outward situation or circumstances. It's a spiritual rest. So all hell and high water can be breaking loose around you, but when you're in a secret place with God 24/7, for some reason, you have peace in the midst of the storm. And people can't understand it. Similar to Jesus, right? We're going to waking him up. Jesus, Jesus, do you care not that we're drowning, that we're casting away? And he got up because he was the embodiment of peace. And he says what? Three words, peace, be still. That's how we operate in our secret place. We're not exempt from challenges and trials and tribulations. But somebody say, I have a secret place of peace with God. Jot this down. The secret place is a permanent place of residence for the believer. It's a permanent place, which means you and nobody else can move me or move you from that secret place with God. How many of you know they're going to try? How many of y'all been tested? Am I the only one? For working my nerve? And I'm like, if you don't leave me alone, and God is just testing me to see, am I going to come out of my secret place or am I going to command the spirit of peace and power? You can't get, come on, will I command the spirit of provision? Insults be being hurled at me, minister with me, are we going to command the spirit of protection right where we are, no matter what's going on around us? Somebody say hallelujah. So in this secret place with God, I want us to look at Matthew 7:7, because I know how the enemy operates. He's an aggravating little rascal. Yeah, but I call it, I manipulate the manipulator. While he's trying to frustrate me, I use the secret place to frustrate him. Because guess what? When folk keep plucking your nerve and they can't move you off your place, they get frustrated and they leave. Look, they come trying to frustrate you, but because they can't move you, they leave frustrated themselves. I call that frustrate the frustrator. Because I'm going to stand where I am on the solid word of God. Amen? What Psalm say? He who dwells, remain. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, come on, shall be up under the shadow. He shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You know what a shadow does? A shadow follows you wherever you go. You can run, but you can't hide from your shadow. So it is with the Spirit of God. No matter how hard we try to run and hide from God, if his hand is overshadowing us, he is with us no matter what, no matter what is going on around us, no matter what people are saying, no matter what darts are being thrown. It's called the shield of faith, amen? That's able to quench, somebody say quench, Holy Spirit, the fiery darts of the enemy. And so are you at Matthew 7:7? Turn there if you would. This secret place that I'm referencing is a place where, according to Matthew 7:7, we can ask and it will be given to us. Somebody better shout, glory! In this secret place, Melvin, we can ask and it will be given to us. Well, somebody, I hear you. Somebody say, well, I've been asking and I still don't have what I've been asking for. Am I reading your mail? Who mail is that? Who, that's your mail? Anybody else mail? I've been asking, Pastor. That's your mail? Thank you for being honest. Because we got to be honest in this secret place with God. I'm going to get to that. We can't be faking the funk. All is well. I'm blessed and highly favored. And know we have situations going on that we need to surrender to him. So I'm going to ask one more time. Anybody been asking for something and wondering why I ain't got it yet? Okay. Praise God. Now I feel like I'm teaching to the right house. Not preaching, but teaching. So in James 4:3, I'm going to address your question, why is it possible that I still don't have what I've been asking God for in my secret place with him? James 4:3 says we have not for a couple of reasons. One, because we ask not. Okay? We got to stop thinking God, yeah, God is a mind reader, but guess what? He says, make your request known to me. Tell me what it is that you need. So let's make sure that we're not just thinking a thing and not speaking and asking for it. So we have not because we ask not, but the latter part says, and when we do ask, we ask with selfish motives. I'm going to say it. When we do ask, this is the second reason we don't have, we ask with selfish motives, that we may consume what we receive to satisfy our own lusts. One version says to satisfy our own selfish desires. So that's the second reason we have. So in this secret place, jot this down, God doesn't grant selfish requests. He just doesn't do that. He does not grant, God does not grant selfish requests in this secret place. So I ask the question, why do you want what you're asking God for? I love asking questions because teachers in an academic setting, it's supposed to ask questions that will prompt the student to respond. And so your response this morning doesn't need to be heard by me. Your response this morning needs to be heard by him. Why do you want what you are asking God for? 1 Kings 3, Solomon asked God for wisdom. Everybody know that scripture? If you don't, go back and look at it. Why did he ask God for wisdom? He asked God for wisdom so that he may govern God's people. You with me? So God says, since you're doing this to help me and my kingdom, you want wisdom to bless me and my people, to lead and guide my people. So Solomon, I'm going to give you what you asked for, and I'm going to turn around and give you what you didn't ask for. I'm going to give you wealth and riches along with the wisdom. Why? Because you're not being selfish with the request that you are making to an almighty God. Somebody caught that. So that promised land experience flowing with milk and honey. Ma, I'm just hearing this. How do we get the honey? How do we get the sweet stuff? Well, Solomon got wealth and riches, which is the sweet stuff. Why? Because he asked God for the thing of substance, which was wealth to aid and lead and guide the people of God. Anybody ready for a promised land experience? So ask God with the right motive. I remember asking God to give me financial wisdom. Didn't have it. And when he gave me financial wisdom to free his people, I said, to free your people, not to pad my wallet. You know where I'm going. I don't even need to dwell there long. Not to increase my investment portfolio, give me financial wisdom. I said, so that I can bring your people who are perishing, come on, from lack of knowledge, out of financial debt and oppression. And so when he gave me the financial knowledge to bring his people up out of financial debt and oppression, he gives me the sweet stuff as well. I'll put it real simple. Every family that I bless and bring out of bondage, the company that covers me, send me a commission check. Because I'm blessing God's people with the right, somebody say the right motive. So Hannah was barren. You all know that story? And she couldn't have children to save the world. Lord, she tried. She tried. Anybody ever been there? You tried all, gave all you got to get what you felt like you wanted and just still couldn't get anywhere. So Peninnah, and you have to go back to the 1 Samuel scripture, but Peninnah, she had many children by Hannah's husband. And she knows she was wrong for provoking Hannah the way she did, flaunting her stuff. Anybody ever had somebody, you believe in God and you asking God and it seemed like the ones around you can just ask one time and bam, they got it. And then they want to flaunt it all in front of you and you like, well, God, I keep asking you for this and you haven't given it yet. Come on, am I in the right house? So here Peninnah go, all her children trailing behind her and Hannah over here barren and can't even have one child. So here's what she does. In 1 Samuel 1:11, she simply prayed a prayer. She says, Lord, if you remember me and not forget your servant, but watch this, give me a son, I will give him back to you. So how many of you know she birthed and dedicated Samuel back unto the Lord? And Samuel, guess what, became a great prophet to the nation. Now who's blessed? Now, I don't see none of Peninnah's sons prophesying and being a priest or a prophet over the nation. So what I come to tell you this morning is it doesn't matter what others have around you. When God blesses you with what you are asking God for, it's going to arise and be birthed out of you with greatness. How many of you ready to wait for it now? It's going to be birthed out of you with greatness in Jesus' name. Amen. So Hannah becomes the one walking in favor. So some, even though we look at God's waiting for some of us to just get our priorities right, amen? And so when he gives what we're asking for, the question is, and this is the question for the students, when he gives you what you're asking for, can you guarantee that he'll get the recognition and the praise and the honor out of it? Can you guarantee, like Hannah, that you will receive it and then seed it back into his kingdom? Can we guarantee that? Well, then let's praise God, because he's ready to give you what you're asking for. Can you guarantee that you won't sit on your blessing with your mouth closed, but you will proclaim everywhere you go that this healing of God came from the one who sits on the throne and found the favor of God? Well, then give God praise. Why do you want what you're asking for? God told Samuel, that same great prophet that Hannah birthed, that man looks at the outward appearance, but I look at the heart. I look at the heart. And so that's why when individuals come up on us, we can't be so quick to judge them. I told y'all, I sat at the feet of a woman of God in the financial arena with 30 years of investment experience, and every 15 minutes, it seemed like she was running out to take a cigarette break. Most folk would say, I can't sit at the feet of somebody like that. Well, that devil is a liar. God was not looking at her and that pack of cigarettes. He was looking at the heart that she had to mentor and to pour everything she had into little old me. And that's all I was concerned about. This ain't a traditional church. Come on, you can smoke, drink, cuss like a sailor, baby. If you got what I need, I'm gonna sit at your feet and receive it. We can't be so quick to judge. Samuel is the one that God spoke that to. They looking at the outward man. I look at the heart. And so in this secret place, we see God examines our heart, and he knows our motive and our intent for everything. Amen? So in this secret place, I remember, I'm a couple stories here. I remember asking God for a husband. Don't go there, Pastor Chamber. But I asked him for a husband for specific reasons. The reason was so we could co-labor in ministry and advance his kingdom together. That's all I wanted. Co-labor in ministry. But the word Matthew 6:33, Zeus does say, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then what? Everything else will be added. Right? And so now you look at Pastor Charlie ministering three times over in Uganda. So the Spirit wakes me up, and then PC reminds me. He said, baby, you got three elements of ministry this morning. Are you ready? He said, you got to do baby dedication, you got to minister the word, and then you got to turn around and do communion. I said, well, baby, we're just co-laboring in ministry together today. In threes, which is symbolic of completion. It's a wrap. We can go home. Monique, like, I wish Pastor V knows she got a good 20 more minutes in her. And so I remember asking God for two sons. I could have had a girl, Michelle, but I said, no, Lord, I need sons. And he said, why? I said, because I feel like I can raise head of households that will be able to develop a family in the fear and the love and the reverence of God. That's why I want some boys. So you should have seen them, Pastor Nitris. They were, I'm sitting high. Oh, that's a girl. I said, the devil is a lie. This here is a boy. Oh, you dropping too soon. That's a girl. I stood on the word because I knew, mother, why I was asking God for what I was asking him for. And so sure enough, Jonathan come out, gift from God. Guess what? Jonathan, gift from God, birthed on Mother's Day. He was my Mother's Day gift. I said, it is so. There is a God. Hallelujah. I knew without a doubt there is a God. Just still can't wonder to this day why I ain't make the newspaper. I'm still mad about that thing. But 18 years later, I'm going, I thought Mother Day baby supposed to be in the paper. They missed mine. Anyway, and so you see Jonathan over at GMU, and we minding our own business. I said, head of households who know how to raise their family. He's 3 hours away. You know, we're treasurer over the money of the ministry. You know, that's why it's growing and prospering, because we know what's going on. We track it. We know what's going on. That's why it's blessed, because we speak over it. So I get this notification, says an online contribution was made. I said, who? Jonathan Ammons. Tithe. I said, well, glory to God. When you train them up, parents, when you train them up, it doesn't matter. You can freely release them with the teaching and the word of truth that's on the inside of them. And I decree according to Proverbs wisdom, they shall not depart from it. Stop trying to hold on to these kids. I want them close by. Boy, go far, far, far away, because that's when I can test and try the word of God and see if it's going to rise up in you. Not while you're in my presence, but while you're 20-some miles away. If you ask with the right motive, it will manifest a blessing in your life. it will impact future generations. Am I right about it? Hallelujah. So a far, far away. Who's that? What cartoon? Dorothy? A land far, far away. I told somebody one down and one to go. And so even with Jeremiah as the second son, they kept saying, it's a girl, you got a boy, it's only natural for you to have a girl, you got a boy now. I said, no, no, no. The word of the Lord says, I'm going to be granted another son, and he was. So Jeremiah's operating in like a keen discernment with a prophetic edge. It's amazing. And so you have to be careful. I'm going to tell y'all, because when y'all run up on these kids with these prophetic edges, and they read your mail, don't leave offended. Come on, pull on them for more. Because Jeremiah can be too prophetic sometimes. Remember the other day I told him, Karen, I said, man, I'm going to tell your dad. I was picking with him. Elder, I said, I'm going to tell your dad, because he's driving now. You left me home alone all the time. I was always home alone. You was always gone. Just left me home by myself. He's hollering from upstairs, well, Mom, you're really never alone as long as you got. And I'm like, boy, you better shut your mouth. He said, you really ain't been alone not one time with the big man up there watching over you. I said, oh, okay, that's your story, and you're going to stick to it. And I said, the boy's just so prophetic. I love it. I love it. And so in this secret place, and we're going to get ready to go, because you know what? I feel a part three coming. Y'all going to be okay with a part three? I don't want to give you too much, amen? So y'all make sure you tell your spiritual father. She tried to finish PC. She really did. But we just kept pulling on her and laughing at all her jokes, and she liked that too much. So I'm going to close out with this. In the secret place, we ask and we shall receive. And it's a place that we shall receive it as well as some, amen, wisdom, guidance, divine intention, and protection and revelation. But just like Solomon, let's reference this before we close. When he made the ruling to cut the baby in half to determine who the real mother was, you might know that story. They came with the baby, you know, one took the baby from the other one, and she woke up, her baby was gone. And so they bring it to Solomon, who already asked God for wisdom. And I'm like, who does this, right? So all of Israel was astonished when he says, in order to determine the mother, give me a sword. Let's just cut the baby in half. Well, the one who was not the baby was like, yeah, let's cut him in half. Give me my half, and she get her half. But the one who was the mother says, stop. Don't cut the baby. Don't kill the baby. Just give it to that mother. She can have it. And at that moment, mother, all of Israel knew that Solomon was walking in a wisdom like none other. But that's the promise that God gave him in the beginning when he asked for wisdom. Amen? And so in this secret place with God, it causes us to stand out. It causes us not to blend in with the crowd. It does. So in the midst of a recession, I remember everybody was selling their house like left and right, putting it up on the market, okay? And all of a sudden, me and Pastor Charlie thinking, well, we got to do what everybody else doing. Let's put our big old house up on the market. So we put the house up on the market. But see, I said wisdom of Solomon caused him to stand out. And he was known throughout all the generations because of one decision that he made in his secret place with God. So people selling their houses left and right. And I'll never forget, every time somebody toured the house, Elder Ray, Danette, I knew it wasn't time because the pit of my stomach turned. Every time they set up an appointment, toured the house, the pit of my stomach. So what did I do? I went into my secret place, you know, because we can go in and out, right? We're always there 24/7. So immediately I called upon the spirit of wisdom to rest upon me. And he says to me, just as Abraham was prepared to sacrifice and give up his only begotten son, Isaac, and he looked to the left and there was a ram in the bush. He says, do not touch the child, for I have a ram in the bush. Sacrifice it instead. So in that trance, Lisa, which is what she taught on yesterday, I say in my secret closet, so we can take down the for sale sign because God has a ram in the bush, but he was going to allow us to sacrifice what was dear to us. You know your house is a dear and precious possession up in here. But there are some other things that God is telling you to sacrifice that's dear and precious in your life. And it's not about the sacrifice. It's about, are you willing to give it up if you had to? See, See, God is a God of sacrifice. That's why he sent his son Jesus and then sacrificed him to show us how we are to operate in the earth realm. We're not supposed to take pride in any possession. We ought to always be willing to lay it down and give it up at a point of sacrifice. So through that secret place experience, I shared it with Pastor Charlie, and he tells the realtor, "Well, take the sign down. We're not selling the house. There's a ram in the bush. He already showed Vic, and we're going to wait for it." And I'm here to tell you, Rochelle, 6 years later, we're still in the same house, have not missed not one mortgage payment, have continued to have increase and overflow, and this is before we were set in as senior pastors. See, you have to be able to operate in the will of God before a special calling is placed over you. See, the calling only comes when we demonstrate our level of sacrifice without the calling. Ouch. So the call of God that's on your life this morning, I ask you, are you willing to sacrifice something in your life? Are you willing to invite the secret places of God to speak to you in the midst of your challenges and whatever hell is breaking loose around you, whatever doctor's report is being spoken to you through the physicians, whatever your credit report is saying that's preventing you from tapping into milk and honey, some sweet things that you want? You might be on the outside looking in wondering, how can I get to this secret place experience that you're speaking of, Pastor? And it's simple. It's through acknowledging that Jesus Christ reigns supreme. And that reign is able to refresh and revitalize any and every dry and dormant place in your life. That's the reign. Just stand to your feet. Because even as I'm ministering here today,